Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
It's Rog. It's Friday, the day before Euro 2020 returns to our loving arms. How we've gotten through the last 48 hours without it, I do not know. But tomorrow, we knockout round. Football played without a safety net, which is always, for me, a bittersweet moment in any tournament. Yes, we're about to get to the sharp end, the business end of matters. Legends will be made. Names we have not even discussed yet will become etched in the stone of Euro 2020. Goals will be scored. Some of them not even own goals, which we will remember together forever. But the intermittent break days, they also create a gnawing and a growing awareness that all of this is fleeting, almost over. The orgy of daily football, that three game a day feast, will be replaced by precise bursts of games, staccato style. And our destination, July 11th's final, becomes ever closer into focus. And then, God, it's all over. What a tournament it's been. Yeah, the fact that it's even happening at all is something I will never, ever take for granted. But to have witnessed the most goal-filled group stage of all time together, it's been magical. Let's savour every second, every Lukaku wonder strike, every Italian national anthem rendition, Griezmann goal dance, Gareth Southgate carefully curated suiting choice, Yogi Love, Orifice Probe, Ronaldo jersey exchange, Danish miracle moment, and of course, those own goals after own goals. Well, we can. How good's it been? Let's ask Pep.
This action is really incredible.
You know what? It's also been incredible to launch our Spotify Green Rooms. Best green since John. After every final whistle, we return tomorrow, Saturday, at 5 p.m. after Italy and Austria relitigate the second Italian War of Independence, a.k.a. the Austro-Sardinian War. You know what that is. It was fought between the Savoyard Kingdom of Sardinia against the Austro-Empire. Yep, 1859, you're no doubt saying to yourself, high stakes. We've loved this new Spotify Green Room platform, mostly because it allows us to interact directly with your brilliant insights. You come on stage with us and just wax lyrical. This weekend we go again and again and again. We'll be live taking your questions every match day during the knockout rounds. If you're not on Spotify Green Room, do your even Euro. Download the app from your app store and then search us, Men in Blazers. We're in people, not in groups. You'll see what that means when you log on. Find our profile, give us a follow, then set your notifications so you know exactly when we go live. We can't wait to be with you, talk a lot more about the important storylines of the Euros, like Gareth Bale's opinions on alien life.
Where is the evidence to suggest aliens exist?
The evidence is everywhere. People
You're very
need people
about
need
this, aren't
people
you?
Need to research it. No, I think I've been looking into it for years, and obviously there's a lot of fake stuff out there, but yeah, I think the US government recently released a few images, a few video footages of an unidentified flying object. So yeah, it's all online, and I think there's a few programs on it on Netflix and stuff. So yeah, it's interesting. I'm quite into it, and that's why I believe.
Yeah, and I did this with Harry Kane, and he said that there wasn't enough evidence to convince him.
He hasn't done enough research,
has he? I sort of understand where he's coming from, but you're saying the evidence is everywhere, are you?
Yeah, I think so. I think the amount of sightings are of UFOs, it can't all be false.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying. And Joe Rogan, have you managed to persuade him? Because I saw you had a very passionate debate with him on the Spurs TV.
I've convinced him, but he's still on the fence.
Is he?
He's more leaning towards there is, but he's still on the fence.
Do your research, Harry Kane. Also, Harry Kane, read my book. Yes, Reborn in the USA comes out this Tuesday, June 29th. I'm a bit breathless saying that, to be candid. Can I get an eagle screech? I'll be honest, the very thought of this book going out into the world fills me with tremendous joy and incredible nervous excitement. It's the most remarkable day of my professional life, if I'm being honest, in that I'm putting myself out there in the most vulnerable way. And the book, you know what it is, it's a love letter to the United States of America, my chosen home. And I retrace my steps to tell the story how the American idea became the dominant one in my head as a kid living in 1980s Liverpool, through the television shows, the movies, the music, the sports heroes, Tracy Chapman and more that sustained me by providing a sense that although my life has lived in black and white in the United States, it could be experienced in glorious technicolor. If you listen to this podcast, you'll have a clear sense of it by now. I actually released my audiobook reading of the memoir's epilogue yesterday. It was designed with July 4th in mind. And if you only listen to one of our podcasts this year, please, please make it this one and share it as widely as you can, because you know how important pre-orders are to any book. Many of you have stepped up. If you procrastinated, do it. Now is the time. Click anywhere you can buy books. So if you don't know where you buy books, go to the book page on meninblazers.com. Snap it up. Buy one for your parents too. Buy one for everybody. And I'm genuinely honoured to launch my book this Tuesday night with a live conversation with my great friend John Green, who's the author himself of the recent magical Anthropocene Reviewed. We will talk books, life, a lot of life, football. We will raise a glass or three along the way. And you can come by for free. Just register on our website for free now when you've pre-ordered the book. And going to the Men in Blazers website, I really cannot wait to be with you. We can do this, okay? Sting me up, producer Jonah.
Talking it out with Roger on WGFOB.
That was Talking It Out with Roger by Marcus Ricci. A more melancholic sting there was not. And you are listening to WGFOP The Bald, the show where you phone in your questions and I answer them pretty much in the same way Spurs go about hiring a new manager. Shoddily. Call in your question, comment, thought, feeling to 646-450-9472 and it'll be your voice gracing this podcast, which is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, who are putting you, yes, you, capital U, courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in something better than money, Insight credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that's still in contention. Oh, not you, Chicago Bulls. Bet $1, and if that team wins, because it has Trae Young on it, you win $100 in site credits. Ah, do that 1 million times and you could buy one Jack Grealish. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use this promo code MIB. MIB, 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 MIB. I think it stands for Michael Ian Bradley. When you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits, bet on the backs of the team of your choice to win their next game, Trae Young. And if they do, just go and claim $100 in what? in free credits. That's promo code MIB for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Message 21 or danger and a penny real. Only because we're not a wager. Put it out in site credits. Yeah, we told you that. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sports for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana. 1-800-9 with it. Let's do it. Question one, please.
Hey, Raj. This is Devin. I'm currently living in Anderson, South Carolina, but I'm originally from the island of Bermuda. I am a supporter of both England and Southampton, as my granddad's originally from Hampshire, so that's where that side of me comes from. But I wanted to talk a little bit about my thoughts about the Euro. First, I thought England played pretty well. I did notice that there were missed free kicks, which I think James Ward-Prowse would have tucked away, both of them. So still a little bitter about that, but honestly, if I'm being a realist, as a lot of England supporters are, I don't think England is going to win the whole thing. I've been very impressed so far with Italy. Let me know your thoughts. Cheers. Courage.
Devon. Oh, Bermuda. Oh, just hearing that made me long for the day when I can just chill with books on a beach and not move. It's been a long, long time, but I've Roger's feeling it this week, if you can't tell. But I digress. England. Not just England, but Germany. Not just England, Germany, but Tuesday. A game that looms so large. Really, a true juggernaut rivalry. Because I always say when two teams take the field, their nation's history, take the field alongside of them, let's just say, there's a lot of history in this one. Yeah, this time around, it's fascinating. From a footballing perspective, when you think about either team, the first comments that come to your mind really are their weaknesses, which is wild. This Germany have shown they can be so wildly, wonderfully buccaneering, joyous, fun, or woefully open, shoddy, dead-legged. And this game, bringing their lumbering centre-backs back onto the field just screams young Marcus Rashford running in at pace. Yet, England themselves, they're either a work in progress. I keep trying to tell myself this. They're gelling game after game. They're going to progress round after round and find new gears. Or they'll just be seen as a damp squib who never really were. Ultimately, this game will tell us everything about both sides' truths. It will also be played with the echo of history flowing through it. Let me take you back. 2010, World Cup agony, Bloemfontein, South Africa, Germany 4, England 1. The searing memory, though, of Frank Lampard's ghost goal. Oh, Frank hit a long-range wolf blitzer, and then this happened.
Change of mood, Defoe. Good challenge, Lampard! Oh, it's not over the line.
Oh, it looked it, Clark.
He looked it. Referee looked to the assistant and the assistant kicked his flag down.
The ball bounced off the crossbar. The score was 2-1 Germany at the time. This would have equalised. Oh, it bounced over Neuer's line by at least a yard. The referee never saw anything. Frank, God bless him, ran away in jubilant celebration. But the game went on around him. We all screamed, didn't we? Didn't we say, invent VAR? Invent VAR, you morons! We will never doubt VAR! We love VAR in the face! Oh, it was not to be. Heartbreak. More heartbreak? World Cup 1990. The semi-final. After which, England. Oh, a tournament in which they had made the nation believe, only to face up to their old foe, Germany, who back then, West Germany, were like the Death Star of world football. So clinical, they were a machine, professional, unbeatable. And we held them. It was 1-1 through extra time. To the dread of penalties. West Germany. Oh, up steps Maverick Dujour, Chris Waddle, and this.
Pierce can't look. Here goes Waddle. Oh dear, it's West Germany. The favourites have got through by the narrowest of margins. They've reached a third consecutive World Cup final. And England's dreams of emulating their achievements of 1966 ended by penalty failure. Fortune and a fair amount of skill and nerve from the penalty spot for Franz Beckenbauer and his players. And for England, a defeat not a pure football, but through failure from 12 yards out, first from Pearce, then from Waddle. But much criticised in their own country, they've certainly defied those who call for their heads. Reaching the semi-final is a landmark in itself. But West Germany won't be satisfied until they get their hands on the World Cup.
England out, and spoiler alert, Germany did end up winning the World Cup. The Germans. So let me just play you, to pick myself up, this famous beat of the 1966 England World Cup final victory at Wembley against West Germany, and a line of commentary that every single English school kid knows by heart.
And here comes Hurst. He's got some people on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now. It's four. And Charlton. And the players bring themselves down.
The goal that won the tie, making it 4-2 England. They think it's all over. Oh, that lives on in legend and is spat out on schoolyards still to this day, all over England. Just a moment in which English striker Geoff Hurst finished off the only hat-trick in World Cup final history. And we should note, I love this story, the second goal of that hat-trick remains controversial to this day. It was like a reverse Frank Lampard, because Hurst shot from close range, cannoned off the underside of the bar and appeared to bounce either over the line or exactly on it, depending, well, whether you're English or German. But the only opinion that mattered was of Soviet lineman Tofik Barakamov, who actually instantly awarded the goal. And there's a wonderful apocryphal story that later, when Barakamov was on his deathbed, he was asked, "How are you so sure that was a goal?" And he managed to utter the one word reply, "Stalingrad." I love football. And now to the truly resonant moment ahead of Tuesday's game. You're going to hear about this one over and over. Let me take you to Euro 1996, the tournaments in England and the English team. Oh, we didn't care about them when we began, but the sun was out. They kept winning and they have made a glorious summer. Oh, one that the entire nation will always remember. England, let's just say, is feeling Cool Britannia in the face. And our team rose up as our nation met it, just falling in love, a love relationship like never before. And who do we stroll into the semi-final against again at Wembley? And again, it's the Germans. And again, it's 1-1 at the end of extra bloody time. England had had the best chances. Paul Gascoigne had come within inches of winning it. But again, penalties. Everyone's perfect. Until the sixth kick. Then who steps up for England? A defender you might have heard of.
And now some of the less regular penalty takers have got to stand up and be counted. And I number amongst that list Gareth Southgate. And Köpke saved it. And Germany are so close now. Andy Müller. So if he beats Seaman here, Germany are in the final. They are. England go out. Germany have reached the final.
Yes, Gareth Southgate. Him. It was a terrible penalty in truth. Southgate has said it will be a moment he will never get off his back, something he will live with forever. That failure was more than a miss. It was national historic heartbreak. But this Tuesday is a chance to exercise it. And I will say, I admire the way Southgate's making his best effort to do this by not talking about the past at all, because his squad are so young. History does not matter to them. And Jordan Henderson has said that naive mindset can be a positive. And it gave a glimpse into how the squad are psychologically preparing this game. We don't know enough to be afraid. I will say this. If England win and beat the Germans, The only better thing they can do is then go and win it all, because a win against Germany in a tournament is a bit like Everton winning at Anfield, or you know, the Scots winning 0-0 at Wembley. It's an achievement that will be remembered for generations, an achievement that is ballad worthy.
Plans for final day, stay in bed, drift away. It could have been all songs in the street. It was nearly complete, it was nearly so sweet. And now I'm singing three lines on the shirt. Jewels remain still gleaming.
Chris from Dallas, Everton, and U.S. men's national team supporter. Having watched all three Portugal group stage matches, I've learned that all Portuguese attacking possessions ends in one of three ways. One, Ronaldo scores. Two, Ronaldo shoots and misses. Three, one of Ronaldo's teammates loses the ball. Ronaldo looks over in anguish and disgust before pointing at the ground in front of him, opening his palms as if to say, "You fool, how could you not see all this space I had?" Raj, my question, would Ronaldo rather score 20 goals but finish second in the European Championship? Or would he rather not score again but win his second consecutive title? Courage.
Chris, you beauty. I love this summary of Ronaldo. Great words. It's actually fascinating to watch this Portugal ahead of Sunday's clash against Belgium. What an epic rumble that is. Portugal, all that talent. I mean, Bruno, Bernardo Silva, so many big names. But wow, Ewing Theory. How do you say that in Portuguese? Because they barely contribute. Ronaldo just cast such an enormous shadow. And what's amazing is rather than letting it all go to crap and wilt and let a post-mortem begin, Ronaldo just steps up. He just finds a way, any way, to deliver. And yes, I know, Ronaldo, blah, 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 blah. But I want to say it is humanly incredible to watch this man at his age, 36. You know, he was written off before this tournament, and just will himself to deliver, to make himself the dominant story of the game. I said recently that the world's divided into two types of people. Those who overpluck their eyebrows and those who hate overplucked eyebrows. And I think if you fall into the former category, you adore Ronaldo. And the latter, you probably lean Team Messi. But whatever camp you're in, you have to marvel at the human traits Ronaldo has shown this Euros in the crucible of pressure to deliver with desire, with passion. Perhaps, who knows, with ego. We're not in his head. I can't answer the question what really drives him. But when he tied the male scoring record this week, I tweeted he will probably try and score 78 goals just in his very next game to close the gap on Christy Sinclair, who is the world leader. And that is what I'd guess goes on in his head. He is the most hyper-motivated man in the world, the fiercest competitor in a game filled with fierce competitors. And there's a comfortable beta. I've got to admire that. I do. And it does seem like he's never more motivated than when he looks in the mirror, prob in his underpants, prob with a pair of socks stuffed down the front, prob on tippy toe so he looks taller to himself. It's going to be an incredible clash against Belgium on Sunday. Romelu Lukaku on a mission from God. KDB, to me, the best footballer in the world. But I mean, you watch the France game. What an incredible team they are. Portugal were in, Portugal were out, Portugal were topping the group, Portugal were, I couldn't keep up anymore. But here's the story I've learned in life. Never bet against this man.
And Lloris defy him. Ronaldo!
Hey, Rog and Dave, it's Liam again from Philadelphia. You guys selected a question I asked about Tim Ream's man bun about a week or two ago and put it on the pod. I have one question this time about the U.S. men's national team's repulsive, embarrassing, kaleidoscope-like new away kit. Right when we were beginning to get some credibility by winning the CONCACAF Nations League, Nike released this kit that reminds the entire world why we went bananas after winning the CONCACAF Nations League. My question is simple. What are your thoughts on this new kit? And if you have time, what is your favorite and least favorite home kit from this year's Euros? Anyway, if you select my question again, can you please give me a warning this time? I nearly crashed my car when I heard my voice come on the pod, and it was a dream come true. Thank you, my good buddies. And stay safe out there. It's a crazy world full of disastrous kits and Trae Young haircuts. Courage.
Liam, you Philly special, you. The shirt, the new American one, is, well, it's a lot. And it's hard to believe that the same designers who craft one incredible French kit after another are also responsible for the United States design. It is very, very warm-up jersey, is all I'll say. The rare top that's hard for elite athletes to look great in when they're in action. Never mind fans who are 40 or 50 pounds overweight. Let's just say it's not the most forgiving jersey I've ever seen. As to whose Euro kits I love, I adore Denmark's because, well, Hummel, naturally. Finland's home, amazing. I adore the collars on Netherlands' home. But the French kits, home, away, always, always. Just the aesthetic, so clean, so stylish. So just the embodiment of everything that's really great about France. And here's a real story about the US jersey which worries me. It's a reflection of something I've thought about when I read a terrific piece by Joshua Robinson of the Wall Street Journal this morning. He wrote about how the football played by top clubs is more complex than ever, but national teams still don't have the time to learn those kind of systems. So when it comes down to the knockout round of the Euros, it's still all about individual game changers. And I hope Greg Berhalter reads this. I always feel like the US tries to play overly complex, build out the back football to show we belong at international level. And we don't have to. We don't have to do that. We don't have to wear jerseys that are overly elaborate. We will be quickly found out on both fronts. None of this desire to show we belong should be done in this way. Let's not get it wrong in the process. Let's be honest. I am a big believer in if it's not broke, don't fix it. We had the greatest jersey in the 1994 World Cup. Stonewashed denim swagger. Wear that every game. And then let's just focus on empowering the Maverick game changers like Gio, Christian, Brendan Aaronson. Seize their one or two chances a game and go free.
The USA has realized a dream. They will qualify for the World Cup in 1990.
Togetherness and unity means victory for you and me. With dedication, heart and soul, you have the tools to achieve your goals. In a battle, I never lose because I'm a champion. I march on till victory is won. Reaching higher, striving harder, always doing better, cause it's a part of the winning spirit. You gotta keep your chin up, and we'll be coming home with the World Cup. So put your best foot forward, together let's step. But make sure momentum is kept.
Togetherness and unity means victory for you and me. With intellect and self-respect, attain whatever you want to get. Togetherness
and unity. One more.
Hi Raj, John from Ventura, California. Leeds United supporter. My wife bought me tickets to a CONCACAF friendly this Sunday for Father's Day. I think it's El Salvador versus Guatemala. And so my two-part question is, one, what should I expect from my very first football match ever? And two, if your Father's Day present is a CONCACAF friendly, what does that say about you as a father? Courage.
John, I would bite your arm off to be the CONCACAF of dads if I were you. That is just a level of parenting that I aspire to. And here's the story. To be part of a crowd, any crowd after the year we've been through, is such a special thing to never take for granted. And to me, it's really been the joy of the Euros to watch the fans emotionally connect to the game again, to lift their teams again. None more than the Danish fans ahead of their game against Wales tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Even Gareth Bale acknowledged that 99% of the world is now behind Denmark. I can't wait for that game, not least because it reminds me of a time when we started Men in Blazers way back in 2010, podcast on ESPN, and they made us call our pod Off the Ball, like I think 287 other football podcasts. If you don't believe me, here's the sting they gave us. They sent us one. We were not allowed notes. We had no say in the matter.
This is the Off the Ball podcast. Off the Ball. The Off the Ball podcast with Michael Davies and Roger Bennett.
From the Embassy Row studios.
Off the ball. Oh my God. Anyway, even then, we had a love of Denmark. And as you original OG GFOPs will remember, because so many people who listen to that still are with us today, there was a Danish band and their name was Nephew. And they recorded the official Danish national team record. We loved it. We invited them on as our guest and then played the song all summer. The Danish way to rock. Oh, and the more we played it, the better the Danes played, and the more they played, the more we had the band on the pod. Alongside, I will say, some truly awkward interviews with Liam Neeson and the dude from Weezer and Wolfgang Puck. So I'm going to leave you with a bite of Nephew for old time's sake, the Danish way to rock. This is Rog. Join us tomorrow on Spotify Green Room at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Come be with us until then. Big, big love and courage.
Hey Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.